Turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus. We've been preaching through the book of Exodus on Sunday mornings, and we're almost done this week, and next week we'll finalize next week. And I'm not going to read passages of Scripture, but I hope you'll keep your Bibles open this morning, because we're going to look at chapters 35 all the way through chapter 39. And so I hope you will follow along with us. And this morning we're specifically talking about using your gifts, your abilities, for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of God. And we want to talk about that this morning. But let us begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us, that directs us and gives us understanding into your truth. We thank you, Lord, that you have gifted each of us with the person of your Holy Spirit, but you also gifted us with gifts from the Spirit to accomplish the task that you have assigned to us as individuals, so that we may advance the cause of your kingdom, so that we may do the work that you have called us to do, that we can bring honor and glory to your name. Help us to use our abilities in such a way that you are pleased. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I thought of several different ways to approach this lesson this morning, and I just basically decided to make it simple. So there's four key words, four key truths, you may want to say, that come in these five chapters that we're going to look at this morning. Four key words that I want to highlight in the story. Now, you remember the story. God has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. They've been in slavery for hundreds of years. God has delivered them from the land of Egypt. Now they're headed to the promised land. And on the way to the promised land, they have this stop, this pit stop at the mountain of God, where Moses goes up on the mountain, receives the Ten Commandments, receives the law of God. And God gives them instructions about building the tabernacle. And we looked about at that a few weeks ago, about building the tabernacle. And today I want us to look specifically how God used the people to build the tabernacle. Last week we looked at their giving. But today I want us to look at their gifts, the gifts that God used in building the tabernacle. And four key words to highlight the building of the tabernacle. The first word is author. Look at chapter 36, verses 1 and 2. Now, Bezalel and Aholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary shall perform in accordance with all that God has commanded. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him to come to the work and perform it. Now, when I looked at that, I looked at the author of who gave them those skills. Here's two individuals that are named by name, and I think they were probably the managers in the work, but they weren't the only ones who did the work. They were simply responsible for supervision, and certainly they were skilled themselves, but they also were teaching others to do the work. And I want you to notice what happened here. It says in verse 1, the Lord has put skill and understanding in these men. Not only in those men, but it said in every skillful person, verse 2, every skillful work person in whom the Lord had put skill. Now it's a simple question. Where did the skill come from? Who is the author of that skill, of that ability? Who was it? It was the Lord. The same is true in your life. The Lord has given you skills. The Lord has given you abilities. Notice it was God that gifted these individuals with these abilities. And it was not just the men. If you go back in chapter 35, verse 25, it talks about the skilled women who spun with their hands and blue and purple and scarlet material and fine linen. All the women whose hearts stirred with skill spun goat's hair. And so they, not only the men were working, but the women were working based on their abilities. And later it's going to mention the fact that they had also not only the skill in weaving garments and cloth, but also they had the ability, the skills to making spices and ointments that were later to be used in the tabernacle and in the worship of the Lord. So everyone had things that God had given them. He was the author of their skill. Brenda, if you will, just move on to the next slide. One was gifted in teaching others his crafts as well. The Bible says that God later uses one of these individuals to teach others the skill. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament as well that God gives us gifts and abilities to use for His purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 through 20 says, "Now God has placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as He desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now they are many members, but one body." Now the image is here, the thought is here. God gives us many members. He uses the illustration, the physical body. I have five fingers. Grateful I don't have five thumbs, though sometimes it may feel like it. I'm glad I have five toes, and I'm glad they're not all big toes. I have two ears. I probably need four, but God gave me two. Wouldn't it be awful if there's only one ear right in the back of your head? You can only hear what people are saying behind your back. No, God gave us ears to hear so we could listen to people around us. He gave us eyes to see. He could have given us just one eye. But He gave us two so we could see clearly and with vision and focus. God has made us wonderfully, and He's given us a mouth, and He's given us a nose to smell and a tongue to taste. And the Bible compares the body of Christ to the human body. And how each member of the body has a function, has a responsibility that they are to carry out. I like the New Living Translation. This says, "God has made our body with many parts, but He has put each part just where He wants it." What a strange thing a body would be if it only had one part. What if we only had a nose, no eyes, no ears, no mouth? We could only smell. That would be horrible. What if we only had ears? We could hear, but we couldn't speak. We couldn't communicate. We couldn't see. That wouldn't make sense. God's designed the body uniquely to carry out the task that He wants the human body to carry out. And the same is true in the spiritual body, the body of Christ. God has placed every member within the body and has given them an assignment spiritually. He says, "There's many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' In fact, we need each other," is what the Scripture says. We need each other within the body of Christ. God has placed every one of us within the body of Christ and has given us the assignment He wants us to have. And if you don't carry out your assignment, you know what you have? An unhealthy body, a crippled body, a weak body, a messed up body. If you don't carry out the task that God has assigned you to do, you're in trouble. We're in trouble. As Christians, we work within the body of Christ. We were never meant to work as Lone Rangers. We were never meant to work as Lone Rangers. But we work in cooperation with other believers to accomplish God's purposes, and He has gifted us in such a way that we need each other. Never has this been more clear to me than when Brother Bill brings the handbell choir over from Baytown. On Sunday nights, they've done several concerts for us the last 4 years that I've been here. And they get up here on stage, and each ringer has an assignment. They only have a number of bells that they're supposed to ring. And if that one bell ringer only rings by himself, all you're going to hear is a dong, 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 dong. It's pretty good if you're getting a call to dinner. But if you're trying to make music and melody, not so good. But when that person rings his bell, and the other person on the other end of the spectrum rings their bell in the right timing, at the right pace, with the right melody, and you have all of these individuals up here ringing their bells at the appropriate time, they make beautiful music together. And my friends, that is the way it is within the body of Christ. When all of us function with the assignment that God has given us, using the gifts and tools and abilities that God has given us, we can make beautiful music together in the body of Christ. Otherwise, all people are going to hear is dong, 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 dong. And that's why so many Baptists come to eat. All they hear is the dinner bell. When we need to be working together to make music and make melody to the Lord. But not only is God the author, the second word I want to give you is the assignment. God gives the assignment. Look at chapter 35. Back up just a little bit. Verse 25. I mentioned it already. It says, the skilled women spun with their hands and they brought what they spun. In chapter 35, verse 3, it says, they received from Moses all the contributions which the sons of Israel had brought to perform the work in the construction of the sanctuary. In verse 4, all the skillful men who were performing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work which he was performing. And they said to Moses, and we talked about this last week, tell the people not to bring any more stuff. We got all the stuff we need. We don't need any more offerings. Now we've got all the stuff we need. Now what we need is people to go to work with the assignment God has given to carry out the task so that the task is complete, so that the tabernacle is built, so that the fabric is woven, so that the fabric is designed, so that the articles of furniture are created and covered and made beautiful for the cause of Christ. When you look at this passage, it goes all the way down to verse 35. There were people who were making, they were doing carpenter work. There were other people who were covering the carpenter work with gold and silver and bronze and brass. There were others who were making clasps for the curtains and rods for the curtains and posts for the curtains. Everyone was doing something a little bit different. Everyone had been given an assignment. All of them did the work that God expected them to do. He did not expect someone to do the engraving when he was a stone cutter. And he did not expect the engraver to do the embroidery work. Everyone did the work that God had assigned them to do. And each person was given them an assignment based on their abilities. I do think in our Christian experience that we often ask people to serve and do things outside of their area of giftedness and outside of their abilities. And when we do that, we often cause them to become discouraged and feel defeated and to feel burdened down. And listen, if you're doing a job in the church and you feel like it's a burden instead of a blessing, I want to say to you, you're probably using your skill set in the wrong way. You're probably using your giftedness in the wrong way. Now, I'm not asking you to move out of ministry. I'm just asking you to serve where you feel like God has gifted you. And I know that whenever you're functioning in an area that you're not gifted in, it weighs you down. It burdens you. It saps your strength. God has gifted me with the ability to teach. I love to teach. And some of you say, I wish He'd gifted you a little better. Well, God, I love to teach. In fact, I've told you before, if people would show up, I would probably teach 7 days a week. 7 days a week. I find energy when I teach. I'm more energized when I end than when I start. I love to teach. I love to preach. That's a part of what God has gifted me to do. I will tell you there are other things I have to do as a pastor I'm not so gifted at. And at the end of the day, when I have to do those tasks, I am sapped. I am wore out. And I just want to go home and resign. And some of you are that way as volunteers. Some of you are serving in a position because you know, the nominating committee knows, that you never turn them down. You never say no. You're willing to do whatever is necessary. And so you say yes, even though it's not something you really want to do. And the nominating committee is working, by the way. and you end up serving and doing a task that God has not gifted you to do, God has not really given you the ability to do, but you're going to carry it out to the best of your ability. While I admire your courage and your willingness, I want to say to you, find the area of ministry where God has gifted you. Find the spiritual gift God has gifted you with, and use that gift for the sake of the kingdom of God. Because you will find energy in accomplishing that task. You will find joy in fulfilling that task. And if God is gifting you, whatever you do, don't quit doing it. Don't quit doing it. Keep on keeping on for the Lord. If we don't have people willing to step up and do what God has assigned them to do, or if God has not given us the people to perform a certain ministry, then we need to stop trying to do that ministry. Because God places the members in the body as it pleases Him. And sometimes we try to do something. You know, as Baptist churches, we start ministries. We never shut one down. And we start ministries with 400 people, and then we end up with 100 people on Sunday morning. We keep trying to do the ministries we started when we had 400 people. And we wear our folks out. We send them to an early grave. Because just a few people are doing everything. People are not doing what God called them to do. And we just keep on keeping on trying to do it without ever stopping to say, God places the members in the body as it pleases Him. God never intended for anybody to be overworked. He intended for all of us to be busy. But my friends, if you're doing something you love, you never feel overworked. You never feel overworked. You enjoy it. A few years ago, I was pastoring in Greenfield, Indiana, and our nominating committee was working. And as usual, we start going around and talking to people, asking them where they felt called to serve. And we'd actually had a major emphasis where we had people discover their spiritual gifts. And we found that there were a lot of people in our church that had the gift of teaching. And most of them weren't using their spiritual gifts in the area of teaching. And Crystal, you would love to have this problem, but we went around and started asking people, if you were to teach, what area, what group would you like to teach? And they said, youth. And we only had 4 slots for our youth program. We had 12 workers who wanted to work with youth. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome? I don't hear an amen except one over here from Crystal. To have more workers than you know what to do with, willing to serve in a particular area. But rather than put them on the bench and say, no, we don't have a slot for you to work, I went to our youth minister at the time. I said, Brother Carl, you know, you've been talking about doing a Tuesday night or Thursday night youth outreach for quite some time. And we've got more workers now than we have room for on Sunday morning. We got people who are wanting to work with youth, and we've got no place to use them to work with youth. So why don't we start that Thursday night or Tuesday night youth outreach right now? He said, you think we got the people to do it? I said, here they are. And we approached those folks, and they said, yeah, we're willing to do it. And man, we went into that thing with people energized and focused. Our first 2 years in that youth ministry, we saw 150 kids. Is this church on good Sunday morning, 100 in Sunday school, 112 in Sunday school, something like that, 115 in Sunday school, somewhere around that. We usually have 10 or 15 in our youth group on Sunday morning, but we had 150 kids come through our youth program. That first year, we saw 25 kids give their heart and life to Christ. We did that program for 4 years. At the end of that 4 years, you know what we discovered? We discovered workers who no longer wanted to do the job. We discovered workers no longer wanting to do the task. We saw kids no longer energized to invite their friends to come. And we saw a program where we were averaging about 50 a night on Tuesday nights go down to about 10 or 15. And it was the same 10 or 15 that were there on Sunday morning. And you know what we did? We shut it down. because it was no longer fulfilling the purpose for which we established it, which was an outreach to our community. We were no longer doing what God had called us to do, so we shut the ministry down. To a lot of dismay for those who were fussing at their pastor. Pastor, you'd close the program down? Yeah, because our people are burnt out. And the people who are serving now no longer feel called to that ministry, no longer willing to work at that ministry. And we're burning people out. And not only that, but our kids aren't reaching out to other kids like they were in the beginning. It's time to shut it down. It's time to shut it down. Listen, you cannot sustain ministry if people are not willing to work in that ministry. And we don't need to try. We don't need to try. Because God places everyone on assignment in the body of Christ. That's the way He did in the Old Testament with the building of the tabernacle. That's the way He does in the church. Rick Warren has written materials on discovering your shape for ministry. He says that all of us need to discover our spiritual gift. S-H-A-P-E. Listen to these. We need to discover our spiritual gifts. We need to understand our heart. Who do you have a heart for? What do you have a heart for? What kind of ministry? Some people have teaching gifts, but they love kids. Some people have a teaching gift, but they love senior adults. Some people have a teaching gift, they love preschoolers. Some people have a teaching gift, but they love youth. You not only need to have the gift of teaching, you need to have a heart for that age group you're teaching for. So have your spiritual gifts, have your heart, have your aptitudes. How did God equip you? How did God design you? How has God wired you from the very beginning? When I was a kid, my aptitude is more of a mechanical aptitude. I called Crystal the other night. She had a breakdown on the van bringing the kids home Monday or Friday night. She said, "I am not a mechanic." And I thought, well, God wired me that way. Well, I'm in the truck. I'm on the way. We'll get it going. And I was grateful that by the time I got there, there were some other mechanics who were already working, already trying to figure out the problem. And we were able to get the van going. But what if we just said to Crystal, "You're on your own, girl"? No, she needed somebody who was gifted in areas and had aptitudes in areas she did not have an aptitude in. And that is the way it is in the body of Christ. God has gifted each of us with aptitudes. And when you use the aptitudes within the body of Christ, we also have personalities. We have different personality styles. Some of us are more outgoing and some of us are more introverted. But I don't care where you are on the personality scale, God can still use you. Some of the most introverted people I know, God has used in a mighty way to be a soul winner and to be prayer warriors. God has changed the lives of people through introverts. I talked to Charles Stanley one time, face to face. He could hardly have a conversation with me face to face. You know Charles Stanley, great teacher, also a big introvert. Doesn't come across that way when he's preaching, but he's introverted. Look at how many lives he's touched over the decades that he's been a preacher of the gospel. So it doesn't matter what your personality style is. God can still use your personality to accomplish great things for the sake of the kingdom. And then your personal experiences, the experiences you have in life, shape you to do ministry. I look back on the ministry that God has given me, and I see things that God did even in my high school years and even in my junior high years to shape me for ministry, future ministry, because of the experiences He gave me growing up. So discover your shape for ministry, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experience. Discover your shape for ministry and get busy doing what God has assigned you to do. That's the third word I want to give you is activity. Activity. We see these guys got busy. Verse 4, chapter 36, verse 4 said, all the skillful men were what? Performing. They were performing all the work that God assigned them to do. They got busy doing the work. Each person did what they were supposed to do. In chapter 36 and verse 8, it says, all the skillful men among those who were performing the work. they got busy. Chapter 39 and verse 42, it says they continued to stay busy. In verse 42 of chapter 39, it says, the sons of Israel did all the work according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it. They had completed it. They finished the work because everyone got busy with the activity God had assigned them to. Everyone got busy. It's not just enough to know what your giftedness is. You got to do something with what God has gifted you with. You got to get busy doing the work of God. You got to get involved in the activity of God. Think about building a building. Each person, as they build that building, and we've seen our building go up or not go up. You know the reason why it didn't go up as quickly as we desired? It's because people didn't do what they were supposed to do on the schedule they were supposed to do it. Sometimes the weather had something to do with it. But my friends, the same is true in the body of Christ. We fuss at the builder. We ought to be fussing at one another. No, don't fuss at one another. Because I don't want you to be pointing fingers at anybody else but yourself. What is it you're supposed to be doing in the body of Christ that you're not doing? You're sitting and spectating when God wants you to be on the field, in the game, working, getting involved in the activities of the kingdom of God. When you don't do your job, then the kingdom is not built as God desired. Bonnie and I, there's several TV shows that we like to watch on a consistent basis. And one of the things we like to watch some of these reality TV shows. But we like to watch one called Ellen's Design Challenge. Now, you may not like Ellen DeGeneres, and that's okay. And I don't particularly like her either, but I love Ellen's Design Challenge. And have you ever seen it? They build furniture. You got these competitors who get together and they build pieces of furniture. And she gives them an assignment to build a piece of furniture. And they have to design the furniture. And then they have to decide how they're going to build the furniture. And they have one carpenter to help. The designer has one carpenter to help them. And then they compete to see which one built the best piece of furniture. And I remember on one occasion, this designer had been given an assignment. And they only have like 3 days to do this. He spent the whole first day doing flow charts, work charts, organizing out the work. This is what we'll do on this day, or this time, this hour. And he had all these post-it pads working. He spent a whole day figuring out what work to do and never did any work. The result was, when the buzzer hit, they had to put their tools away. His job was not as complete as he would have liked to have had it done, because he spent too much time talking about the work instead of doing the work. Listen, it's all right to plan, and I'm not going to discourage you from planning. But my friends, if all we ever do is plan and never do, God help us. We need to get in the work. I remember a pastor told me several years ago, he said, anything worth doing is worth doing badly. I thought, what are you talking about? Here's the point he was trying to make. He said, people want to be so perfect in doing the work, they never do the work. And he said, sometimes instead of ready, aim, fire, you just need to be ready, fire, aim. You need to get in the work and figure it out as you're going along. Instead of just sitting on the sidelines, keep talking about the work, wanting to do everything perfect, and then never, ever do the work. Because we're troubled with this thing called procrastination and perfection. We want everything to be done perfectly, or we're never going to do it at all. And I want to say to you, anything worth doing, we need to jump in and do it quickly. Rob Bowen had a decision to make. He could flee the rising floodwaters or help others find safety. Just recently, there was historic flooding in the state of West Virginia. And Bowen and his wife, Terry, decided they would help their neighbors. The couple quickly took action. The waters were rising. Strapping a light to his forehead, he is a former coal miner. He said he found himself in the darkness in a kayak with a friend, searching for his neighbors in their hometown of Rennell. He found 86-year-old Joanne Burns, whom he rescued from her home and took her to safety. All the while, his hardware store was being flooded, and he neglected taking care of his own needs so he might help his neighbors whose lives were really at risk. Bowen and his friend in the kayak, they worked until daybreak with that one small boat tied to a kayak, and they rescued 18 people in that town from daylight to dark. That night, the flood claimed 23 lives, and had it not been for him, it might have claimed a few more. He said, "I never even stopped to think whether I would choose my hardware store over my neighbors." He just went to their rescue. And my friends, there are people who are dying and going to devil's hell because we're sitting on the sidelines and not doing what God has called us to do. We need to rescue the perishing. We need to get involved in the activity of God. Bowen's pastor, name's Ted Volpe of Calvary Baptist Church, he said, "This is Christianity 101. Rob and his wife Terry, they allowed Southern Baptist Disaster Relief to set up in the parking lot of their hardware store that had been flooded. The bottom store is totally flooded, but they had an upstairs apartment they allowed the teams to use to get fresh water, to take baths. And they said, whatever we have is yours. Because they wanted to be involved in helping their neighbors. They cared. And instead of just sitting on the sidelines doing nothing, they decided to get involved. The fourth word is this: accomplishment. When we do what God has called us to do, we can accomplish great things. I've already read Exodus 39. When you read verses 32 through 40, it says all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was completed, and the sons of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So they did. When everyone did their part, the tabernacle and all of its furnishings were completed. The job got done because they all did what they were supposed to do. And God blessed them with His presence. Later on, next week, we're going to see the glory fall. We're going to see how God allowed His glory, His presence, to descend on that tabernacle. And part of His blessing was to the people of God, because you did what I asked you to do in the timing I asked you to do it in. And you use your gifts and your talents and your abilities. I'm going to bless you with my presence. God wants us to be faithful to use our gifts as well, and our abilities to serve the body of Christ, to minister to our community, to show love one another. And I believe it's amazing what we can do when we work together. I grew up on a farm, and I can tell you, it's so much easier to work together in a task than work alone in the task. If it was hoeing a garden or hoeing out a tobacco patch or harvesting hay, putting hay in the barn, whatever it was always easier to do. Sometimes neighbors would help neighbors, and instead of one person going across the tobacco field hoeing out the weeds in the tobacco patch, there would be eight of us going across the field and back again, going across the field and back again. And then after that field was done, we'd go to the neighbors and do their field, across the field and back again. It was so much easier to do it together, so much quicker, so much more efficient, so much more encouraging to do it together. And I tell you, I've harvested hay all by myself. I've been in the field, put the tractor in first gear, real slow. Tie a rope to the handlebars, to the steering wheel, and let it roll down those bales of hay. I'll get it right here in a minute. And throw those up on the trailer as it goes by. Throw them up on the trailer all by myself. Throw it up on the trailer all by myself. And then somewhere I had to stop the tractor. I had to stack the hay and start the process all over again. And then I would take the hay up to the barn and throw it from the barn or from the trailer into the barn loft. And I want to tell you, that is a tough job for a teenager to do. But I did it all by myself, and it was no fun. It's so much easier when you have a whole bunch of people working together. One guy driving the tractor, two or three guys throwing the bales of hay up onto the trailer. Nowadays, they just roll them all up in one big ball. I know what you're thinking. Back then, we baled them up into small bales, and we stored them in the barn. It was so much easier when you had four or five people working together instead of one person working alone. And the same is true in the church of the living God. We need to work together, serve together, share together, encourage one another so that we can accomplish much. I conclude with these words. God wants us to use the gifts and talents He has assigned us. He has assigned us to engage in His activity and to accomplish His purpose. Now, God gives us gifts and abilities, and we can use them out there in the world to do things that don't matter for the sake of the kingdom of God. We can waste our time and our energy and our talents. And I want to tell you, God wants us to use our gifts, our talents, our abilities to advance the cause of His kingdom. And if we're willing to use our gifts out there in the world, why not use them in the body of Christ? Why not use them in the body of Christ to accomplish His plan, His purpose? And if we work together, we can accomplish much. I want to encourage you to use the gifts God has given you. Let's pray together. Lord, we love You. We thank You for the privilege of being in Your house today. We pray, Lord, we would hear the assignment You have given us and never back away from that assignment until You release us from that assignment. I pray, Father, that You would just help us have a vision for what You want to do in our midst. And having seen that vision, Lord, let's not wait for someone else to do it. Let's jump in to the work and get busy right now. Lord, we don't need church programs to do Your work. We just need people who are willing to serve. And so, God, I pray that You would motivate us, You would encourage us, You would equip us. You've already equipped us with Your Spirit and with Your gifts and talents. But I pray now we would be encouraged, Lord, just to go out and do the work that You've assigned each of us to do within the body of Christ. That we may see Your kingdom grow. May we do this in Jesus' name. Amen.